This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network.
We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for tuning in once again to the radio show. My name's JD. We are live right now. This is, of course, the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast coming to you on your very favorite station for truth and alternative information, Truth Frequency Radio. You can find us at truthfrequencyradio.com. You can find us at redpillreports.com and on the dial at 90.7 under the majestic skyline of Denver, Colorado. Today is the seventh day of the fifth month. That makes it May the 7th, 2015. It is a Thursday, or as I like to call it, Friday evening, or, you know, day four of the hostage crisis, whatever you guys want to call it. Just as a heads up, too, while I mentioned Denver just a second ago, I've got it on pretty good authority, ladies and gentlemen, that for the second year in a row, Denver might actually get some snow this weekend. Yeah. So, frost advisory going out to Denver, just trying to do a little PSA here. If you guys have gardens already in the ground, probably a good idea to try and get some of that, Mylar plastic and get yourself covered up just in case. Most of the time in Denver, from what I understand, they try and wait until after Mother's Day to do any planting, but just in case somebody out there decided to jump the gun a little bit, want to give you guys that heads up snow potential this weekend in Denver, Colorado. So, moving on, how fantastic was Joe Joseph's show last night? I'll tell you what, I absolutely had such a good time hanging out with Joe and Mr. Johnny King. Just absolutely epic stuff. We got into a pretty heavy-duty conversation, kind of generally under the umbrella of this control of a, you know, this control, divide, conquer motif that we see going on, and really talked a little bit about the insidious nature of it in its targeting of children, and got into some pretty heavy-duty stuff about the education system and things like that, and really was a good time. I really recommend people go back and check out that show. Joe Joseph's another one of these outstanding shows here on Truth Frequency. I'm just super excited to be a part of this team, and just such good stuff coming off of this network. Today's going to be an absolutely huge day on the network. I'm sure you guys are aware that Britain having this little selection going on today. And the KBS crew is going to be in full effect this afternoon. I think they're going to do like a three-hour shebang, bringing in all kinds of guests. I'm sure the Whistler will be there. I have it on pretty good authority that Scottish John will be popping in. Heck, I even found out yesterday that I might be on that show. So, I mean, I'm always the last to know. But anyway, it's going to be good stuff. They're going to do a full breakdown of the selection that's going on in the UK right now. And obviously I'll be here either in the chat room or listening intently, because I don't know much about what's going on over there. We have got so much crap on our plate here in this country to deal with. It's difficult to pay a lot of attention to, especially like the political grandstanding type of stuff. I mean, who really cares about an election anymore? It's just pandering to the elite as far as I'm concerned. So anyway, do definitely stick around for KBS's show this evening. It's going to be a long, drawn-out affair, and we're going to get all kinds of good information about this election that's going on in the UK. As far as today's show, we're going to have a really big one here, guys. Kenneth Shorjan Jr. will be joining us in the second hour of the program. He is a contributor to The Daily Economist, also to RogueMoney.net. You can go to RedPillReports.com right at the top of the page, see the show section, and you'll be able to follow all of his links, find out more about Kenneth. But Ken is a pretty cool guy, man. He's a historian by nature. He's also an investor in the real world, and he's done a lot of different things in terms of investment. And so trying to figure out a little bit about what's going on with this continuation of the war on cash. I do have some pretty weird economic news going on today. There's also a lot of rumor going on right now that the Shanghai Gold Trading organization, which has been in effect for a couple of months now, and nobody has really been talking about it, getting ready to potentially usurp the MLBA. So lots of goofy stuff going on in the economy on a global scale, and lots of goofy stuff going on in the commodities markets. And he also has done a lot of research into this TPP thing, this Trans-Pacific Partnership, that apparently we're all going to get Nancy Pelosi. They're going to have to sign it before we can actually figure out what's in it. But he's done a pretty good amount of research into that, so I'm going to pick his brain on that. We haven't had a guest come on to really talk to us about that. And after the train wreck that NAFTA and GATT were, who'd have thought Ross Perot hit that nail on the head? Anyway, after those train wrecks, probably pretty important that we figure out what the corporations are going after with this TPP thing. So we'll talk about that. Probably a little bit about ISIS and this Garland, Texas incident too. So anyway, going to be a really good in-depth conversation with Ken. Really looking forward to having him on the program, and appreciate all of you guys tuning in for that. And just a heads up, tomorrow, Sharon Lynn Wyeth is going to be on. She wrote that book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Very, very wildly entertaining. You guys are not going to want to miss this. It's a perfect Friday show to get your brains kind of geared up for the weekend, thinking about some things you may not normally be thinking about. And her main motif with her book is that you can actually tell a lot about a person judging solely based on the spelling of their name, on the phonetical pronunciation, and also the actual letters that exist as far as characters go in the name and how important that can be, and just really, really fascinating stuff. So I'm very excited to have her coming back to the program. We had a big time response. People were really excited to talk to her last time. So we'll have phone lines open for that tomorrow, and we'll be able to take your calls and hear your names and figure out, you know, a little bit more about yourself, or, you know, give it a litmus test and find out if what she's saying is true or not. So anyway, pardon me here one second, gentlemen and ladies. We've got a crazy pollen going on here in Missouri, guys. I don't know what is going on. The pollen count is absolutely out of control, which is why I sound a little bit, I got my, my deep voice on today. It's because of this pollen. Anyway, let's hop into the news, guys. First hour of the show. We always do a lot of news. Any new listeners out there, appreciate you guys tuning in. I would really love it if you guys hopped into the chat room over at Truth Frequency right now, because man, I don't know why he does it, but every day, ladies and gentlemen, Kev Baker, the one and only, showing up in the chat room to talk to you guys out there, and that is just super cool that he takes time out. It's absolutely amazing to me the level of support that the hosts give one another around here, and I can't speak highly enough about his show, the guys he works with, Marty, and the Whistler, and I'm saying everybody on this network is absolutely fantastic. I want to give a quick shout out to the two guys behind the scenes here at Red Pill too. I oftentimes forget to mention just how much I depend on the two gentlemen, Jeff and Robert, working behind the scenes. These guys are the absolute lifeblood of the Red Pill Reports, guys. So without them, could not possibly get even a little bit of this stuff on air. And without Jeff, we wouldn't have the absolutely amazing guests that we've got. And without Robert, well, we wouldn't even have a website, ladies and gentlemen. So I just want to make sure everybody, if you guys are sending emails to me saying, hey, we appreciate you guys being on the air, take some time out, send an email to the contact tab, and let Jeff and Robert know that you appreciate the work that they do behind the scenes, because again, without them, well, we all wouldn't be here right now. And so anyway, let's hop into the international news right now. Again, we talked a little bit about the selection that's going on in England right now. KBS is going to do an outstanding job breaking that down this afternoon. I'm really looking forward to getting Scottish John's take on it. Just saying, the guy just absolutely slays me, ladies and gentlemen. But for my American brethren and sisters who do not know what's going on over there, or maybe you guys are all inundated with the Jade Helm or trying to keep some rogue doctor from sticking a needle in you, we have a lot of stuff on the plate here. So I'll get you guys up to speed on what's actually going on with this election that's going on in England right now. Apparently, according to the opinion polls, it's a dead heat. It's a very, very close election that's going to happen today. I shouldn't use that word selection. I should use the word selection. Anyway, Prime Minister David Cameron and the Labour challenger Ed Miliband, they are fighting each other basically to a standstill last night. And so, again, KBS will do a much better job breaking this all down for you guys. But despite the 5 weeks of campaigning, neither party seems to have opened up a very clear lead, and is pointing right now to a very potentially messy and uncertain outcome for this selection process. And the stakes are pretty high because of a rare confluence of factors, which means Britain's future in the EU, as well as its national cohesion, looking at you, Scotland, could hang and hinge on this result. So Cameron has promised to hold a referendum on whether to stay in the EU if he does return to power. And polls also suggest that Scottish nationalists could emerge as a third largest party in the UK, despite losing the plebiscite last year on whether Scotland should break away from the United Kingdom. Both the main party leaders have insisted that they are fighting to win outright, and despite the overwhelming signals from the opinion polls that they would need to seek one or more allies to form a coalition or survive as a precarious minority government. So that's what's going on there in the UK right now. Again, KBS this afternoon do a fantastic job, long show, breaking all that stuff down. And I'm looking forward to that in its entirety, ladies and gentlemen. So, and Kevin in the chat room telling you right now not to vote for any of them. I don't know how the – I mean, I assume that Britain is much like the United States and that it's not actually a country. It's a corporation, right? So, I mean, my stance on voting here would probably be pretty accurate over there, is that I've never heard of a for-profit corporation using a popular election to select a CEO, and I can't really imagine that they're going to start, I don't know, tonight. So, you know, I'm kind of with the don't vote for anybody kind of thing. And I know Robbie D out in the listening audience probably agrees with me there too, because if you're going to vote for these people, you're giving up your right to have a complaint, as far as I'm concerned. If you're choosing a master, then, you know, by all means, hey, you're going to get a master. That's what's going on there. So there you go. Kev's also pointing out that the UK passes 60% of the legislation that goes down in the UK. So I don't know. I mean, are we voting then for Cameron because he's going to do the referendum to get you guys out of that situation? I mean, what do you guys think? Let's get into this situation going on in the Strait of Hormuz right now. Allegedly, and this is coming from the Iranian news source called Fars, so just put that in your pipe and smoke it. But an Iranian naval fleet allegedly chased a U.S. warship and some ancillary military planes through the waters off the southern coast of Yemen earlier this week, and yet another provocative encounter between the two nations. And this, again, according to the Iranian state media. They say that a U.S. warship and several planes reportedly changed their directions earlier this week after encountering an Iranian naval fleet during a patrol in the Gulf of Aden near Yemen. The U.S. military assets fled after they came close to an Iranian naval fleet and were warned to move away. And the run-in between the U.S. and Iranian militaries is just the latest in several tense confrontations between the countries near Yemen, where Iran is believed to be smuggling weapons to opposition forces. So Iranian media also now claims that the Islamic Republic's naval fleet did in fact chase after these two U.S. reconnaissance planes and a naval destroyer. So there you go. We're still not out of the woods yet. There is a little bit more information regarding this Maersk ship that was taken by the Iranian military the other day. They apparently are going to be releasing it in the next couple of days. That's the official story from, again, the Fars News Network there. And it's also contingent upon whether or not the Marshall Islands actually pays a fee to Iran. This is according to the foreign ministry spokesperson for the country. They said based on information they have gotten now, it's likely that the dispute will be settled within the next couple of days. And the amount for the fee for freedom has not yet been disclosed. So there you go. And again, we had the story yesterday of the United States ramping up their escorts, not only of U.S. flagged ships through the strait, but also now the British ships that are moving through the area. So, you know, still kind of touch and go there in the peninsula. Also, a report out of Germany right now, the Germans' top secretary official says that there are new statistics inside of Germany that show a very sharp rise in anti-Semitic offenses over the last year, and as well as crimes against foreigners. This is coming from the interior minister, and he told reporters just yesterday that the anti-Semitic offenses rose 25.2% last year, and the crimes against foreigners were up 21.5%. The only reason I'm really bringing this up is obviously they're going to have to, you know, they're going to have to do something to get these numbers down. But we have this huge influx of refugees coming out of war-torn Middle East and also the war-torn area in North Africa, moving their way towards the EU right now. So you can already see Germany kind of gearing up to probably go down the same road as the Prime Minister of Hungary, saying they don't want any more foreigners because their crime statistics are up. So I just found it kind of interesting that they happen to put this report out, because there's really not a whole lot of other detail with it, just saying, hey, our crimes are up and the attacks on foreign people are up, and we don't like that, so we need to change it. But anyway, there are obviously there's going to be a massive swell of refugees moving into the EU this year, and they're still all trying to figure out what exactly they're going to do about it. Latest numbers I heard were somewhere in the neighborhood of 250,000 refugees moving into the EU by the end of the summer. So that's pretty that's a pretty big number, and they're definitely going to have to figure out a way to deal with all of that. Okay, let's move on here. France is quickly becoming the most important European ally to the Gulf states after President Francois Hollande made a landmark visit to the region and clinched a very important military deal. So earlier this week, Hollande won a $4.5 billion defense contract to sell 24 Rafale jet fighters to Qatar. And he also attended a key Arab summit in Saudi Arabia with leaders of the six Gulf Corporation Council members. They were Saudi Arabia, Kuwait, the UAE, Qatar, Bahrain, and Oman. And he is the first Westerner actually to do so. And they all discussed the crisis in Yemen, and they also discussed Iran's nuclear program. And that's basically where we're at right now. But interesting that Hollande has kind of thrown his hat in the ring and is becoming a very staunch supporter of Saudi Arabia. Probably has to do with the defense contracts that the UK is now reaping as a result. And of course, it's very good time to be in the defense contract business when one of your clients is at war, ladies and gentlemen. Always, I think Mark Twain said it best, when there's a gold rush on, it's a good time to be in the pick and shovel business. So there you go. Also, there's been a huge protest erupted in Japan over this last week. People are very upset about this new military relationship between Japan and the United States. A lot of people in Japan really believed that the constitution there was pretty solid in the fact that they did not have to leave their home soil. They didn't go out and create war and things like that. So anyway, because they changed that last week, the United States basically changed their policy of engagement with Japan, and Japan kind of dropped the veil a little bit, and they're going to be able to go out and use, you know, foment war wherever they want to. And again, a lot of people in the country very upset about that. So some massive protests taking place in Japan. So that was, that's a good news as far as I'm concerned. Anytime people are rising up, if they're doing it in a peaceful way, I dig it because it draws attention to crazy events. Speaking of crazy events, here's your international what the heck story for the day. We also have some American what the heck stories for the day, but I haven't gotten that far yet. But in the international what in the world, just to keep you guys in the loop here, $17 million of cocaine was accidentally delivered to Aldi stores in the city of Berlin. Aldi is a grocery store, ladies and gentlemen, for you guys who don't live over in Europe. So again, $17 million worth of cocaine accidentally delivered to an Aldi store in Berlin again. Yeah. Second time. So Aldi staff in Berlin got a pretty big shock earlier this week when they discovered a stash of cocaine hidden under a delivery of bananas. In total, it was 386 kilos with a street value of about $17 million. All of that discovered concealed beneath boxes of bananas in 14 different Aldi stores across the city. And the huge amounts in question make this the largest ever cocaine seized in the German capital. And strangely enough, as I mentioned, not the first time cocaine's been accidentally delivered to an Aldi store in Germany. Back in January of 2014, Berlin police seized about 140 kilograms of cocaine. That was about 5 million pounds after, again, it was found in banana boxes in Aldi stores. And the police spokesman put it pretty clearly when he said, "I think there was a logistical mistake made somewhere along the line." I love it. I love it. Good stuff. So there's your international what in the world is really going on story for the day. Let's move over into the national news, getting into the United States right now. There's been a story come out about the Baltimore situation. Obviously, we've been following all the riots there and the unrest that was going on as a result of Freddie Gray's alleged murder by the police officers. And one thing has kind of come out, and the ACLU is all over this, but it's been reported now that for several days following the Baltimore riots, there were actually some surveillance planes up in the air, two of them, a small Cessna and a small Cessna-style jet, a little bit bigger than a prop plane. But again, for Wednesday through Saturday, these little planes were flying all over Baltimore doing tight loops. And so the ACLU is pretty concerned because obviously there's some surveillance technology that's being used here. And basically anybody on the street was being caught up in some sort of dragnet, regardless of whether or not they were actually doing anything wrong. So again, ACLU is pretty upset about this. And the FBI actually says they did loan these aircrafts to the Baltimore Police Department for the purpose of providing aerial imagery of possible criminal activity. So long story short, they were basically using infrared, flying around in the dark and keeping a track of everybody. So just kind of putting that out there, that that was a capability that was available to the Baltimore Police Department during all of this unrest, and they took advantage of it. So you potentially were caught up in some sort of dragnet. Now, they are talking about infrared, so of course they're probably tracking people who were breaking curfew, but you also have to remember there's been tons of stories coming out regarding these little Cessna planes flying around with those Stingray devices, those devices that mimic a cell phone tower, and they were able to snap up a whole bunch of metadata that way. And if you think those planes are up there just flying around with infrared, I would beg to differ, because I would imagine they also had the stingrays on. So not only were they able to isolate people via infrared, but then they were also probably able to isolate their cell phone signals, find out a lot about you, all from the air without a warrant. Good times, ladies and gentlemen. So happy to be part of this team. One of the defense attorneys, while we're on the subject of Baltimore, one of the defense attorneys for one of the six police officers charged in the death of Freddie Gray is now challenging the prosecutor's claim that Gray was falsely arrested. So Mosby came out. She's the DA there. She came out and said that the arrest that was carried out on Freddie Gray was because he had an illegal knife. And basically this police officer, via her defense attorney, is challenging whether or not that knife was legal or not, because if it was actually illegal, then the charges of Gray being falsely arrested would then have to be dropped. So you can see how the nitpicking is going to begin with this particular trial. We're just going to wait and see what happens as a result of this, but that is what's going on in the Freddie Gray situation. As a little ancillary note, the Baltimore mayor, Stephanie Rawlings Blake, has asked now the Justice Department, the Department of Justice, to conduct an independent investigation into the city's police following the death of Freddie Gray in police custody that obviously provoked more than a week of protests in the city. Rawlings Blake also announced that the city's police would immediately have body cameras. By the end of the year, and she hoped to update the officer's Bill of Rights as well. But I would imagine that we're going to see a DOJ investigation. They are currently also running a review of the Baltimore PD's use of force practices. So that report is expected to come out in a couple of weeks. But again, she is asking the DOJ to do an entire investigation into the police department in its entirety. And I would imagine they're going to have similar results to what we've seen in Ferguson as a result of that, that these people, you know, in a city of 18,000 and there's 23,000 arrest warrants, something is wrong. These people are getting funneled through a system that's there to generate revenue. And, you know, they're a targeted minority. It's not going to be a surprise to me when this report comes out. What will be a surprise to me is if anything is done about it. And, you know, I'm still really on the fence about the body camera thing, because I'm pretty sure I've seen a couple of murders on film recently and didn't really get any indictments. So where are we going to go with these body camera films? How much actual benefit are they going to be? And then we also have the ancillary side of the story where these body cameras could potentially be used as biometric identifiers, identifying you by your retinas or whatever, facial recognition, from more than 40 feet away. So do we want law enforcement officers? We've already got this Beware system that's gone into the law enforcement officers' vehicles, so they get a threat assessment based on things that you put on social media. So they already have quite a good amount of information about you, regardless of whether they should or not. I don't necessarily want them to be able to identify every single person on the street. I think that's a kind of a gross violation of our right to assemble, yada, yada, so on and so forth. But anyway, it's going to happen. I mean, we're going to move that way. To me, we got to move towards a national police offender registry. We need to put people on there, just like the sex offender registry. Use stigma, use social stigma. If you're named in a lawsuit or you're named in a settlement, or if you kill somebody in a line of duty and it turns out that that was not the right appropriate thing to do, you go onto a list, and then you can't become a security guard at a mall 6 months later. I think that's pretty reasonable. I mean, that seems like let's use stigma to get these people under control. Or let's have the adult conversation and say, this is what we want from law enforcement in this country. Maybe we could replace these people with voluntary peace officers. Anyway, I'm going off on a tirade and I apologize about that. Big news coming from the United States. You guys are going to be floored about this because this is ridiculous. I have no idea how this even happened, but the Republican-led U.S. Congress passed a 2016 budget yesterday. Yeah, it's largely symbolic. Okay, it's just a policy document, but if it's fully enacted, it would actually balance federal spending and slash $5 trillion in social, education, and health programs over the next decade. This is a $3.871 trillion blueprint for the year beginning October 1st, 2015. It is actually not dramatically lower than the $4 trillion wish list put forward by President Barack Obama back in February. But it does form the start of a theoretical 10-year program that would lead to a total elimination of U.S. public deficit by 2024 without raising taxes and beefs up Pentagon spending. And the Senate approved this Republican budget by a final vote of 51-48, just a squeaker, with all of the Democrats voting against it. And it passed the House of Representatives last month, also with united Democratic opposition. And despite deep divisions over the military spending and other issues that threaten to split the Republicans, it does also expose now divisions between the Republican 2016 presidential hopefuls here. Ted Cruz and Rand Paul both voted against the budget, while Marco Rubio and potential White House candidate Lindsey Graham both supported it. Of course, the White House has completely different plans. The Obama proposed budget would blow through a mandatory spending cap. It would also raise taxes and spend nearly $500 billion on improving infrastructure. So again, this resolution passed by Congress has no power of law, but it is used as a guide to define the amounts appropriated to each federal agency. So the spending battle looms later this year as lawmakers will end up haggling over the appropriations bill that has to be signed into law by the president by October 1st, or else the government risks another one of those pesky shutdowns. But the budget contains key Republican priorities, and I like this, including a complete repeal of the president's signature health care law, known affectionately as Obamacare. It also sets up a fast-track vote on legislation repealing Obamacare, which would likely see the light of day in this summer. So good stuff coming out of Congress, I suppose. I mean, again, you know, we haven't really seen this thing yet, so we don't really know. But just interesting enough that these guys pulled it together long enough. This is the first time, I think, in like 4 years that they've actually passed a budget. I'm sorry, first time in 6 years they've passed a budget. So at least we're moving in one direction. It's not just, you know, languishing, sitting around. So, hey, there we go. That's what's going on. I got to give you this story too, but I can't because we have to go to this 3-minute break. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to give you a teaser here. Ladies and gentlemen, the state of Missouri might have screwed up. And I mean that in the nicest possible way. We did pass a constitutional amendment here earlier this summer. And wouldn't you know it, Republicans might have just shot themselves in the foot. There's a couple of lawyers who are standing up because of this new amendment, and I'll tell you, the story's pretty interesting. I think you guys are going to like this. So keep it right here. We've got another couple of chuckles in the national news. We have some important science and health stuff to talk about, and of course, the economy is still plugging right along. So keep it right here, guys. We're going to go to this 3-minute break, and when we return, more news, and I'll give you guys the update on what's happening here in Missouri. Keep it right here, guys. See you in a second.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I'm telling you to take cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to MyPatriotSupply.com. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com. Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
Sound Doctrine Ministries with Kenneth Emmanuel.
Sundays on True Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out through that 3-minute break. We've already got more than 1,000 on the live stream. I cannot tell you guys how awesome it is for you guys taking time out to join me in the morning. Just makes me feel so good. I love the little family that we've got going here at Truth Frequency and appreciate you guys all hanging out in the chat room. I try and welcome all of you guys to the chat room individually, but the vault kicks me out of the chat over the break. So sometimes I come back and there's new people and I haven't had a chance to say hi. So hello, big, huge, warm welcome to all of you guys hanging out in the chat room right now. Cannot thank you guys enough. I know Kev Baker's out there right now. And Kev, I had a quick question regarding this election or selection process that's going down in the UK that you might be able to answer. Just a quick question about how the election process actually takes place. You guys use paper ballots over there, or is it a Diebold, or are they potentially – I think they're maybe called Premier Election Solutions now. How does that actually work? Are you guys on the electronic tip over there? And I will defer to Kevin when he answers through the chat room. So cool having the access to some of the other hosts, especially on a global scale, get you guys up to speed on what's going on some far away continents. Paper and postal is what he's saying. Wow. Okay. Very interesting. So at least you guys don't have the threat of electronic manipulation. But of course, who really controls where the paper ballots go after they go to where they go, I guess would be the question. But again, if you guys want to learn more about this election tonight, KBS is going to have an absolutely amazing show this afternoon. So do definitely tune in for that. Absolutely amazing stuff. Okay. Want to get back into the story here about Missouri. I come on the program all the time and complain about my state because it seems like all these other states around us are moving forward at a very healthy click, and we're not. It's like 1996 here, I swear. The music is 96, the people's attitudes, 1996. It just drives me insane. But perhaps, perhaps there's a chink in the armor here, ladies and gentlemen. This story broke last night in Columbia, Missouri, which is north of Jeff City, north of the Capitol by about a half an hour, and a big, huge college town. And I thought this was really interesting, but it's centered on the fact that Missouri, recently this summer, we covered this on the air, they passed a new constitutional amendment. And the constitutional amendment was called Right to Farm, right? Okay, so what they basically said here is that, and we amended the state constitution. So that nullifies any law that would be passed at the legislation level. So this is a big deal. So again, the amendment to the constitution, it was a squeaker. First of all, it was real back and forth, and it actually very narrowly passed. And then it did actually end up surviving a recount too. So, this thing is definitely on the books and definitely there to stay. Again, constitutional amendment here. It reads in part that the right of farmers and ranchers to engage in farming and ranching practices shall forever be guaranteed in this state. Very, very interesting. Why is that very interesting? Because there are some lawyers now in Jeff City who believe that that amendment means that it's legal to grow marijuana here in Missouri. And I'll tell you what, they make a pretty darn good argument here. So again, the gentleman that we're talking about, this lawyer, he's a public defender. He works in Jeff City, and he's representing a client who was charged with growing marijuana in her Jefferson City house back in 2013, right? And so after he was assigned to this case, he started to read over the text of Missouri's newly passed constitutional amendment, this again known as the right to farm. And he said he just started kind of thinking about it, and he says if you read it And think about the language. It sounds very much like growing marijuana is legal. And again, so he basically filed a motion last week in Cole County Circuit Court arguing in part that even though growing pot is illegal in Missouri under Missouri law, those statutes are all unconstitutional now because they violate that First Amendment. There's a circuit judge. His name is Daniel Green. He's presiding over this case. And a Columbia-based attorney, Dan Vietz, plans to make similar arguments on behalf of two of his clients coming up here in the next couple of weeks. He says any state statutes that prohibits cultivation of marijuana was automatically rendered invalid by the passage of Right to Farm. So growing pot, of course, still illegal under federal law, but Vietz also and Carver both say their clients are charged under state laws against marijuana cultivation, so it doesn't matter. Theoretically, a federal prosecutor could probably still pursue federal charges, but not a state prosecutor and not under state law. Vietz also says this couple was only accused of growing a very small amount. One of these, she was actually growing it for her husband, Gene, who used it to treat a painful form of glaucoma. They were not selling it. They were not trafficking it. He was using it to treat glaucoma that's actually already blinded him in one eye. And because of these charges, his wife ended up losing her job as a nurse. So again, the lawyers are saying these are good people. They're nice people and they don't deserve to be put through this. Carver says he's got no agenda. He just says if this argument is meritorious, then his job as a lawyer is to raise these points. One of the representatives that put forth this amendment, and also one of the primary sponsors, said that it's basically ridiculous. He says that if growing marijuana is illegal under the state and federal law, then it's still illegal. And he says he resents people trying to fashion legal arguments away from the law's true intent. He says it's a sad day when people try and make this amendment about something that it is not. But that doesn't make any sense, because what you're essentially arguing is that these guys could write whatever bill they want, and then they could basically, you know, force you to interpret it however way they want you to. But that's not really how the law works. So this really is a very interesting case because it's sort of the law of unintended consequences. The state of Missouri might have actually passed agricultural production of marijuana for personal use, which would actually be a pretty grave surprise for the people who proposed this measure. And again, the actual text of the amendment to the Constitution says that agriculture, this is what they classify as agriculture, which provides food, energy, health benefits, and security, is the foundation and stabilizing force of Missouri's economy. And so you could easily make an argument that marijuana could be said to provide health benefits, given the fact that the federal government has a patent for said health benefits. Regardless of what happens in this particular case, the right to practice farming is kind of a sticky issue, and they really wrote this thing not very well. And there's actually another gentleman who is a former Chief Justice of the Missouri Supreme Court, and he's also the current Dean of the St. Louis University of Law. He says the situation is pretty murky, and the people who wrote this were not being very clear in their language. So he also asked the question to what extent the word practices in the second sentence of the amendment modify the meaning of both farming and ranching. So growing marijuana, is that not a form of farming? It may not be a farming practice, but what does practice actually mean? So you can see we're moving forward here, ladies and gentlemen. And these guys, I really believe, are going to be able to win because, again, any legislation that outlaws it has been completely nullified by the constitutional amendment. So this is one that we're going to have to watch here pretty close. But Missouri may have unwittingly just jumped itself way into the future. Regardless, when you read the text of the amendment that's in the Constitution, once we pass medical here in Missouri, there is no way they can stop you from growing personally, because that will be your, once they acknowledge the fact that it has medicinal value here on a state level, there will not be a state prosecutor that can prosecute you. So maybe Missouri is looking up here, ladies and gentlemen. That's all I'm saying. I just found that to be interesting. It's always nice when you can find a legal loophole would be the word I was trying to use. And it's just funny when people pass laws and then all of a sudden there's all these unintended consequences, especially given all the fighting that took place back and forth regarding that constitutional amendment. But there you go. That's what happens when you don't read bills very clearly, guys. Also, given some world change news or your world in upheaval kind of news, the U.S. Geological Survey did report three plus magnitude earthquakes in the San Francisco Bay Area yesterday. So if you guys are in that area, do continue to have a plan and continue to be prepared. Here's your national what in the world story. I don't even know what to make of this, but one of California's attorney general Kamala Harris, one of her staffers, was arrested last week and accused of operating a rogue police force that has now claimed to exist for more than 3,000 years. I think Johnny Whistles brought this up on KBS last night, and I had to go back and do a little bit of research. But Brandon Keel, who is the Deputy Director of Community Affairs at the California Department of Justice, and two other people, David Henry and Tanette Hayes, reportedly faced charges for their roles in the Masonic Fraternal Police Department. They say that suspicions about the Masonic Fraternal Police Department, whose members trace their origins back to the Knights Templar, were aroused when various police chiefs in Southern California received a letter in late January that announced new leadership for the group. And they say following the investigation, sheriff's investigators searched two different sites in Santa Clarita, found badges, weapons, uniforms, and law enforcement paraphernalia. And the Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said in a statement that the Masonic Fraternal Police Department was not a legitimate police force, and that Keel, Henry, and Hayes were all arrested for allegedly impersonating police officers. They say detectives conducted a thorough investigation in collaboration with several law enforcement agencies and determined that the MFPD has not been a legitimate police agency. The Times article where this first appeared actually drew attention to a website which is purporting to represent the Masonic Department. And the site does claim that the police department, ironically, is widely respected and operates in 33 different states. And on their website, this is what it says. It says the Masonic Fraternal Organization is the oldest and most respected organization in the world. Grandmasters from the various states are facing serious safety concerns for their jurisdictions and their family members. The first police department was created by the Knights Templar back in 1100 BC. And when asked what the difference is between the Masonic Fraternal Police Department and other police departments, the answer is simple for us. We were here first. So that's what they say. They don't care if they're not legitimate. They're going to play police officer regardless of what we think. And I got to offer an apology here. We're moving on to the last story from the United States. Really sincerely, from the bottom of my heart, guys, I have to extend an apology to all the members of the global population, specifically those of you guys who were in Grand Central Station in New York City on Monday. Apparently the band U2 showed up and they were recording some segment for the Tonight Show there in Grand Central Station. And I got to apologize on behalf of all Americans when I tell you guys who are foreign, who are visiting that area, that that's not something we would want to inflict upon you. The same way that we wouldn't want to inflict war on you guys and your nation, we certainly wouldn't want you to get the impression that we either support you two or, you know, have anything to do with them. Honestly, if it was me and if I had been asked, ladies and gentlemen, I'd have had Tool there for you guys, okay? I'd have put a real band, somebody worth listening to, or even, you know, an American band. Maybe I'm old-fashioned like that, but again, my heartfelt apologies to anybody that had to experience being inundated with U2 music against their will in New York City's Grand Central Station on Monday, not the reflection on America that we hope to present. And I hope that you guys can find it in your hearts to forgive the rest of America for allowing that to go on. So again, moment of silence for anybody who was affected by that. And yes, Tool! Thank you, Who. That would be a band I'd like to see in Grand Central Station. Anyway, nobody needs to be inflicted by affected by Bono. I mean, come on. What in the world's going on here? Let's move on to the markets here, guys. Let's see. The Dow Jones currently up 82 points. Happy days here again, 17,924. S&P also on the rise, $2,083 today. The dollar index is up about 50 cents today. We're at 94.69, which I imagine means, yep, the euro on the decline today at 1.12. Bitcoin sitting a little low this morning at 231.80. Moving over into the gold, we are down $8 this morning, $1,182. Gets you an ounce of gold. $16.30 big pennies will get you an ounce of silver. Crude oil taking a little bit of a dive this morning below that $60 mark. We're at $59.60. That is what's going on with the crude market. A little bit of a goofy situation yesterday in Switzerland. Yesterday was the 5-year anniversary of that big flash crash that happened over there on the Swiss Stock Exchange. And wouldn't you know it, it's deja vu all over again. And who are they going to blame for this one? But yes, there was another flash crash yesterday in the Swiss stock market. It halted trading for 3 minutes, took the numbers down from pretty high down to about 400. I think they went from like 16,000 to 400 in over the matter of, I don't know, about 3 seconds. So they had to stop trading. Of course, nobody's been blamed for this yet. But so yeah, as Mr. Obama would say, hey, we flash crashed some folks. That's just what happens. There you go. Yeah, we flash crashed some folks. Big deal. Anyway, that's what's going on in your Swiss market. Weird stuff. Also, again, we're going to have Kenneth Shorten Jr. on here in about 20 minutes, and he's obviously a very astute geopolitical and economic expert, so he will probably be going into a little bit more of these stories. So I'm just going to kind of give you the brief stuff. I mentioned this yesterday on Joe Joseph's awesome show, Freedom Links, but in case you did not get to hear that, Greece actually introduced a cash point tax yesterday. That's right. So to withdraw more than 1,000 euros from an ATM in Greece, even if it's your own ATM, they're going to charge you 1 euro. So this is, again, another escalation in this war on cash, and we'll be talking again about that when Kenneth Shorten joins us here in about 20 minutes. Some economic implications stories coming out of Japan right now. Japanese businesses are being hit pretty hard by these Western anti-Russian sanctions, and apparently their overall GDP is down about $10 billion right now. So as a result of all of these sanctions, so Japan not going in the right direction. You know, and one of the guys we haven't had on the program yet that we probably ought to get on is Mr. Peter Schiff. He is obviously a kind of a fanatical economist, and he talks a lot about different things. But, you know, I was thinking about the potential Fed rate increase the other day, and it really dawned on me that that's not what's going to happen. Clearly, that's not what's going to happen. And so I was really kind of shocked when I read this article that Peter Schiff put together yesterday, essentially saying the exact same thing, saying there's no way that the Federal Reserve is going to raise rates anytime soon, probably not going to be raising rates by September either. What he's actually predicting is another round of quantitative easing, and I kind of think that probably is what's going to happen here. So Peter Schiff, great article, basically just saying, you know, there's just no way that the Fed is going to be able to do anything other than potentially another round of QE4. Again, we've talked about this rate increase too, and that it would be largely symbolic, probably just a very, very small amount, probably less than 0.25% if they do decide to raise rates. But again, we don't know. It could happen in June. Possibly could be happening in September. There are a lot of things that are getting ready to happen in September, so who really knows? And another weird story that came out, kind of a blend between the science and tech stuff and the economy. There is a new crypto coin that's coming out, kind of like a Bitcoin, but this particular coin is called a Hayek, H-A-Y-E-K, and each one of these coins is going to be tied to a gram of gold. And, you know, on the face, I think that's probably pretty cool. Most people, if you think about the Federal Reserve note or Bitcoin, really they're both fiat currencies. Well, the Federal Reserve note really isn't a fiat currency, but that's a different discussion for a different time. But Bitcoin, definitely. I mean, that whole based the value entirely based on your interpretation of whether or not it has value or not. So there's really nothing behind it. So this other company, Hayek, they're trying to put out a coin based a cryptocurrency that's based on a gram of gold. And but there's a lot of questions that this brings up to me, and I don't really necessarily like it, because they haven't really come out and said if you can take physical delivery of the gold, or if they're just going to have a vault someplace that's supposedly full to back up the value of these coins. Sounds a whole lot like, I don't know, a treasury plan that went sour a long time ago. And then I would also just say carrot bars. Like, carrot bars is this. You know, carrot bars, you get the card in your wallet with a gram or 2.5 grams or 5 grams of gold in it. It already has a QR code on it, and it's already operating in more than 130 countries. That's exactly what this is, and you don't have to worry about whether or not they've got the gold, because you're flipping holding it in your hands. So to me, it's nice that people are thinking in this direction, but the solution is already here, and it's carrot bars. And if you guys haven't gotten involved with carrot bars, I'll tell you, Kenneth Shorten, he will probably vouch for that as well. I mean, you've got, it's a currency. It is it's an asset-backed currency, and it's the first one I've ever held in my hand. I'm really excited to talk about that company, because they're just awesome. I mean, they bought their own gold mine here recently. How much more secure can you possibly be? Anyway, moving away from economic stuff, I've got this story I got to tell you from the science and tech news today. This, and I hope Nano Girl is out there listening. I know she tries to work during the day. Listen to this headline, guys. This is a headline that I came across last night, and I didn't even know what to make of it. This is the headline: Japanese engineers design robotic bear to aid in assisted suicide. What? Japanese engineers design robotic bear to aid in assisted suicide. It doesn't get any less creepy the more times you read it. It still sounds, when I first read that, I thought, okay, so they built a a bear that kills people, and you decide you're going to go commit suicide, so you go into this room and this robotic bear attacks you. That's crazy. That couldn't possibly be. That's actually pretty darn accurate. So again, this team of engineers working for the JSDD with the help of the Orient Industry Company have created an experimental robotic bear to assist in euthanasia and assisted suicide in Japan. So they have a growing suicide rate there, as well as the senior population is becoming an increasing concern. So hospital staff and suicide assistant volunteers of the JSDD are required currently to help euthanize those who are unable to do it themselves. So to aid these carers and volunteers, the JSDD Orient Industry Collaboration Center for Human Interactive Robot Research in the Bunkyo Ward of Tokyo has designed an assisted suicide support robot with the face of an innocent, lovable, cartoon-like bear to aid patients in self-euthanasia. It's called Seppakuma. Seppakuma loosely translates to suicide bear. It has robotic arms that are able to carry up to 80 kilograms of weight, hands that are powerful enough to crush human bone, and roller legs that can retract or extend from a base as necessary when pending to pick someone up out of bed or when maneuvering through tight spaces like doorways. The robot weighs 140 kilograms, and it is powered by specifically designed software and advanced actuators, a type of motor that controls its mechanism. So Seppakuma offers 23 very different methods that one can choose to end their own life, including everlasting sleep, which is lethal injection, pillow kisses, considered to be suffocation, peaceful breath, which is helium asphyxia, and sleepy time hug, which is where the robot bear strangles you until your pulse stops for 15 minutes. You think I could make this stuff up, ladies and gentlemen? I am flabbergasted right now. I don't even know where to go with this. But anyway, all of these attributes enable the Seppakuma to give its patients the power to choose how they want to end their own life. And so far, no one has signed up to be strangled to death by this robotic bear in Japan. But I don't even know what to say about that, guys. I had to bring you in the loop on that because this is just absolutely just insane. I don't even know what to say. I don't even know what to say about that, but that's what's going on. Moving out of that. SpaceX did successfully test its dummy yesterday. It was actually a pretty interesting launch. So again, they chalked up this really big test yesterday. They were successful. They fired this capsule into the air, and they tried to use the ejection system for the pod. Everything actually looked really, really pretty, and so it looks like they're going to move forward with a I think the next step is going to actually get it into orbit and then do an abort, and then the following test after that will be to do all of that with a person inside. So you can see we're zooming forward towards manned space experimentation that's going on there. I want to give you this story too. There's a stupid article in NBC Chicago. Everybody, all these NBC people think they're doing you a favor, and they're, there's a drone that's out there and it could steal your Wi-Fi information. It's a drone and it's stealing your Wi-Fi information. Okay. Probably true. It's called a pineapple. You can go look for them at Hack 5. Cost you like $200. But let's talk about being safe on the cell phones while we're in this subject, because obviously they brought it up and I just wanted to clarify again here. When you guys are using your smartphones, or your tablets, and you take them to Starbucks, and it signs on to the Starbucks Wi-Fi, that information is stored in your phone, okay? So your phone, when it's not in its home network, your phone really wants to be connected to the internet, especially if you're one of those people that's downloaded different apps that actually have internet control and want to go report to their masters. Your phone's going to be constantly looking for a Wi-Fi connection. And one of the things that it does is it broadcasts all of the names of any Wi-Fi account that you have signed up for in the past, going as far back as your phone has, the origins of your phone. And so the hackers can basically set up a spoof Wi-Fi that will answer your phone and say, oh yeah, I am Starbucks. Yeah, I'm totally a trusted network. You can totally connect to me right now, and then boom, bada bing, they're in your phone and, taking all your stuff. So, TrueScript in the chat room totally hits the nail on the head here. Delete all of your old Wi-Fi connections. Don't use them, don't store them in your phone if you can do it. And if it asks you if you want to connect automatically, always select no, especially if you're in a network that you don't know, because you're basically giving hackers a pretty free, capability of getting into your phone that way. So just a little PSA for you guys out there. Let's see here. Is this important? Whoa, what just a hello, hi, oh, full screen. All right, let's get out of that. I'll move away from the science and tech stuff. A couple more science and tech things that you guys might be interested in over at the Red Pill Reports, but I want to talk a little bit about health stuff here right now because this bird flu thing. We got to talk about this. I missed this yesterday. So the U.S. government now has approved the use of an additional $330 million in emergency funds to help contain what is now considered the worst avian influenza outbreak in U.S. history. As infected birds, the cases have soared, and hundreds of Minnesota poultry workers learned they would be losing their jobs this week. So the funds became available after the Federal Office of Management and Budget granted the U.S. Agricultural Secretary his request for additional emergency funds. And this virulent H5 avian influenza strains have now spread to 14 states in 5 months. They have affected about 24 million birds so far, and mostly egg-laying hens and turkeys are in that bill. So the tally is still currently expected to grow. U.S. authorities do confirm there are still pending cases out there, and this outbreak is all now starting to affect Canadian provinces as well, and it's showing little signs of stopping. In Minnesota, the largest producer of U.S. turkeys, state officials said that 5.5 million turkeys and egg-laying chickens have either died from the flu virus or are set to be killed in an effort to contain the virus. And in Iowa, which is the U.S.'s top egg-producing state, state agriculture officials estimated that 20 million chickens and turkeys have now been affected. Again, that's just in Iowa. Also on Tuesday, Hormel Foods Group, their unit, Genio Turkey Store, said that they will be temporarily laying off 233 workers at their Minnesota plant effective May 26 because the flu has reduced that drastically the amount of turkeys that they're able to actually process at the plant. And this is the first known instance of a company actually linking job cuts to the bird flu. And as of right now, there is no date set for the return of those workers to work. So again, this bird flu situation is getting wildly out of control. It's going to probably affect all of our Thanksgivings. Oh, I want to give you this quick update too. Again, more health news that you guys can check out over at Red Pill. But there is a great article on what is this? I want to make sure I get this on pranayama, which is a breathing technique that can help you guys fall asleep in as little as 60 seconds. And you have to remember the numbers 4, 7, and 8. This is a breathing technique, again, to help you fall asleep very quickly. So long story short, you close your mouth and I'm sorry, you open your mouth, you exhale completely through your mouth, and you make kind of a whooshing noise, right? Now hold your basically then open your close your mouth, inhale quietly through your nose to a mental count of 4. Hold your breath for a count of 7, and then exhale to a count of 8. Again, the numbers are 4, 7, and 8. So 4 is your inhale, 7 you hold, 8 you exhale for a count of 8. What that's actually doing is getting into your parasympathetic nervous system. You're relieving stress that way. You're also eliminating your brain's ability to focus on any other stimulus that's going on. And it's, again, kind of an old breathing technique, but a great way to fall asleep if you're having trouble. Lots more health news I could not get to today. Please check it out at redpillreports.com. We're going to go to this break, and when we come back, Kenneth Schultz Jr. will be joining us. So keep it right here, guys. We'll see you in 3 minutes.
Chris and Sheree Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Did you know that the blue lotus flower was used by the ancient Egyptians as an aphrodisiac to experience feelings of euphoria and ecstasy? And ecstasy. And ecstasy. Did you know that Thai kratom was used by the Buddhist monks to produce a relaxing and dreamlike state? Did you know San Pedro cactus was used by the Native Americans to quest for visions and heal the body? Lansing Bear Botanicals is your number one supplier of rare and sacred plants and a proud sponsor of Truth Frequency Radio. By clicking on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, you can learn more about a vast selection of entheogens, including Amanita muscaria, also known as the sacred mushroom. So click on the banner at truthfrequencyradio.com, and you'll also get up to $40 off your next order.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out through that 3-minute break. And thank you guys who are hanging out in the chat room right now. It's so nice to have you guys along for the ride. If you have questions for our very special guest today, do feel free to steward them into the chat room and I'll try and bring them across and weave them into the tapestry of this interview that we're getting ready to do. Very excited to be welcoming back to the program the one and only Kenneth Shorten Jr. He is a contributor to The Daily Economist and also RogueMoney.net, both very highly recommended websites for you guys to keep up to date on what's going on with geopolitical and economic events around the world. Now, Kenneth, for those of you guys who don't know, is essentially a historian and a researcher and a very good one at that. He's also an investor. He's been in and out of many, many different investment opportunities as his career has blossomed. And so we're bringing him to the stage today to try and get our minds around really what's going on in the economic system right now, because there are a lot of very strange things in my mind that are going on, and I can't really think of anybody better to speak with about them than Mr. Kenneth Shorten Jr. So, Ken, thank you for taking some time out to join us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Morning, JD, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Always more than welcome, and we always appreciate your insights that you bring to the table. Now, right now, I guess, in the economic world, we've been talking a little bit on the program in the past about how cash has kind of become sort of a colloquialism, but it seems to be now that there's a much more concerted effort to actually, I don't know if I want to use the term war on cash, but it really seems like cash is under the gun in and of itself right now. Do you think that's an accurate description of what's going on, Ken? And do you have any more details that could possibly support that?
Yeah, it's extremely accurate. Now, to get an understanding of all the different key things that we're going to discuss here, use this premise, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Whether it comes about, that's sort of moot. But we have so many different analysts and economists, at least in the alternate, and we're starting to get in the mainstream, that are pushing towards September and October.
Yes.
Whether it's being a collapse, but there's going to be great change. Even Catherine Austin Fitz yesterday said that she has come to the realization that something major is going to happen in the September October timeframe.
Right.
We've got Jonathan Kahn talking about the Shemitah. We've got Martin Armstrong says that 2015 is the war cycle.
Uh-huh.
We've got what's going on in China when they start their SWIFT system in September, October, which can legitimately allow them to throw up a new reserve currency by de facto, not another Bretton Woods thing. So with these things going on, If you use that premise as your foundation, now let's look at the things that are going around the world that the banks, the governments, everything is, that they're doing in preparation for this.
Can I just point out real quick, too, Ken, that Christine Lagarde's goofy numerology speech about the number 7, just bringing it back to September again. Plus, you've got potentially the expansion of the SDR basket, which, as far as I know, is only supposed to happen on the first of the year. And the IMF has kind of come out saying they're really toying with putting the yuan in there early, which to me means they're going to be doing some sort of knee-jerk reaction to whatever the event is that you're kind of postulating about, in my opinion. Just wanted to point that out.
Yeah, and the IMF is really their knee-jerk reaction is the fact that, whoops, 57 countries joined the AIIB.
Right?
Now they're screwed. So they're trying to hold credibility, and they know that, they're not stupid. These individuals are not stupid. They think that it's the psychopaths who think that they can overcome either through economics like sanctions or militarily, like creating wars. But deep down, they know that the writing's on the wall, that there is a vacuum of power, and the world is rejecting the dollar. Mm-hmm. So with this in mind, we've got to take a look at a number of different factors, and the war on cash is one big one. I've got a couple others we're gonna mention. Let's look at, I'm going to bring up real quick, 5 or 6 different countries in the past 5 years that have passed legislation or initiated policies for a war on cash.
Okay.
Italy in 2011. Prime Minister Mario Monti, who of course was a technocrat from the ECB and the Troika that was put in charge of Italy, reduced the maximum allowed of cash payments from small businesses, landlords to 2,500, from 2,500 euros to 1,000. So they were restricting how much cash you could actually use in payments of debt. Spain has outlawed cash transactions over 2,500 euros. Sweden, the country where the first banknote was created, use of cash is being steadily eliminated. Denmark's central bank is ending the use of its banknotes. Israel came out and said they're seeking an end to the use of cash. And now we have France, and France has cracked down on people making cash payments and withdrawals and who hold them in small bank accounts.
Mm-hmm.
We have Louisiana. Whoa, Louisiana.
That's here Louisiana. In our country, man. Wait a minute.
Exactly. Louisiana, the state of Louisiana passed a law that says, get this, you can no longer use cash to buy secondhand goods.
I mean, can you imagine? You're talking about outlawing the garage sale, which is like an American staple. That's unbelievable to me.
You're outlawing the use of cash in Goodwill.
Yeah. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. That's unbelievable.
Or to buy a car from your neighbor. It's insane because here is the reason behind all this. Even though the Federal Reserve note is not real money, the ability to hold legal tender in your hands is freedom.
Yes.
This whole purpose is to eliminate freedom of choice by the individual. Because if they get to the fully electronic system, then they can shut you on and off instantly.
Absolutely.
If you have cash, well, you know what, or gold, then anybody can find a black market to be able to buy what they need.
Mm-hmm.
But this is all about control. It's also about the fact that we're heading towards another liquidity crisis. People have asked, why is the dollar suddenly going sky high? We've had a currency war going on for the past 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
But the dollar was still in the low 80 range, high 70 range until all of a sudden it zoomed up to 100. It's ranging about 94.5 now.
Mm-hmm.
Purpose behind that is the law of money supply. The world is getting rid of their treasuries and their dollar reserves.
Right.
And they're getting shipped back in mass. Well, if you have a huge money supply, then of course the value of that currency is going to be less.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take it out of the system, so it's not being used around, then of course it's going to increase the value of your currency.
So,
and that's what's happening.
Kind of a balance between supply and the velocity side. So they're slowing down the velocity to make up for the fact that we've got so much supply.
Exactly.
Okay.
And these are the reasons why these coincide with the creation of the AIIB. $100 billion, and plus money was put in by Britain, Germany, India to the AIIB.
Uh-huh.
$100 billion. All of that was funded with U.S. Treasuries. The initial purpose of the AIIB right now is it's a clearinghouse for countries to get rid of their U.S. reserve, their cash reserves in U.S. treasuries.
Really?
Yeah, because before they started doing this, when Russia started selling in off of its treasuries, it should have crashed the market. But the Fed has all of these little places around the world. You may have remembered the Belgian Bulge. You had Euroclear. You have all these little institutions that the banks run to suck up all of these treasuries when they're being dumped in mass on the market to keep them out from affecting the actual price and rate of the bonds. Mm-hmm. Because if all of a sudden you dump $100 billion worth of treasuries on the market, the 10-year, the 30-year, they're all going to collapse.
Yeah, they're going to tank. Yeah, absolutely.
So you got to keep them from being put into the market. So really what you're doing is you're buying them with a middleman, and the middleman holds them.
Huh.
And let's see. Another thing, here's another indicator that the banks know and the world is heading towards collapse. Speaking of the bond market, last week in the Financial Times, a number of different banks are requesting to the regulators, the financial industry regulatory authorities, they are requesting that they have settlement of their corporate bonds, not the treasuries, but corporate bonds on a delayed basis. Now, according to a transparency law that was put in 2002, when you sell a corporate bond, you have to report it to the market within 15 minutes.
Okay.
And that's how it regulates price discovery and interest rates and yields and things like that. However, what they want to do is the banks want to say, we want to allow or we want to have this extended so we don't have to report for at least 24 hours or more.
Oh, you're joking.
No. So that say on a Wednesday, come September, October, on a Wednesday, they see the writing on the wall and they dump billions, hundreds of billions of dollars of the corporate bonds.
Uh-huh.
If those were reported 15 minutes later, it would cause the collapse of the bond market, and then of course it would cause a panic because everybody, the high frequency trading computers would whoop, we're
yeah,
going to sell.
Freak out,
the
right?
People then would sell. There'd be no buyers, so it would cause a complete absolute collapse. So what they're going to do is they want the regulators to allow them to have this 24-hour delay so they can dump all their bonds, get rid of them. Then 24 hours later, people are sitting there going, "Ooh, here's the yield. It's 5.5%. Da da da. Whoa, why is it suddenly at 2.7%? In an instantaneous thing, people will panic. They'll try to all sell, but it doesn't matter because the bank's got 100 cents on the dollar, and everybody else is trying to catch the falling knife.
Right? Wow. Sounds like a great job if you can get it, man.
Hey, too big to fail.
Right?
Fascism. When corporations, banks, and the government are all as one, this is what you get.
See, I think we're beyond fascism. I think I made that point last night when I was on a different program. But, you know, as far as I know, fascism is when the state owns all the means of production. And here we actually have a corporation masquerading as a state or a country or government, or whatever, still owning all the means of production. So aren't we at like fascism 2.0 at this point? I mean, it seems like we're well beyond just your standard, you know, cut and dry fascism.
Yeah, Jim Willie has a term for it. It's called bankism.
Bankism. Oh, I like it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Bankism. I prefer corporatocracy.
Right.
But really, it's bankism. The
like
banks
that.
Are making the rules, and the politicians are simply rubber stamping them.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's talk a little bit too. I've been reading a lot of articles coming out of the EU talking about the negative bond yield rates. Is that a significant thing? I mean, obviously, I don't know much about the bond markets, but when I'm reading reports that saying, you know, 25% of the bonds that are being sold in the EU right now are coming back with a negative rate of yield, that seems pretty significant to me. Does that tie into this war on cash, in your opinion?
Oh, it's because here's what's happened. Because of the central banks have opened up their discount windows to all the banks to borrow as much money as they want at zero interest rate. At a certain point, money really becomes a liability because those that cannot afford to borrow are not being allowed to borrow, and those that can afford to borrow don't want to borrow anymore.
Right.
So they've got all this money that they printed that they've got to do something with, and there's nobody borrowing it anymore. There's no use for it. So people did not recover, have not recovered from 2008, the foreclosure, the credit card debts that they have. Right now, consumer spending is pretty much for basic necessities, and nobody's buying any discretionary spending.
That's right.
So since they're not borrowing on their credit cards anymore, the whole economy is slowing down. And this is why when you see earnings have declined over the past 5 years. The only reason that the stocks are actually as high as they are and all these companies are quote-unquote beating their estimates is because they're buying back their own stock. They're borrowing money from the banks at low interest rates, which borrowed it from the Fed at zero interest rates. They're buying back their stock. Well, that changes the price per share for earnings, and it's out of whack because you really just lowered the amount, the total pool of shares. So of course it makes it look like your value per share is higher. But what's happened is that the companies are now suddenly in massive debt because they borrowed money to buy back their stock. And since they're not getting that much revenues and profit from actually selling goods, they're slowing down on that immensely. And that's another thing as you get towards September. That's why our GDP was 0.2%. The only reason it wasn't negative is because everybody had to spend so much money for Obamacare and healthcare.
Oh, right. That was the one tick. So if you took that actual spending out of there, we'd have been in, I think I read like negative 2.5% or something.
Yeah, negative 2.6. That is correct.
Wow.
So Obamacare has been a way to force consumers to spend, and people want to save. And that's the thing about negative interest rates. Negative interest rates are the way of the central bank telling people, fine, you keep your money in the bank and we're going to charge you to hold it.
It's so completely irrational, though. I mean, who would do that?
Oh, but it gets even better. Because they desperately want people to borrow, they in Europe, get this, are actually paying people who have mortgages.
What?
You're not paying interest on your mortgage, your house mortgage. They're actually paying you.
Wow.
Because they don't want you to pay it off. They want you to keep that money out in the, from paying off your house.
Holy cow.
Yeah, they're taking because the interest, because money has become like water. Imagine putting a tap up to the Pacific Ocean and just turning it on.
Uh-huh.
It's free. It's endless. This is what has happened. This is why I wrote last August in 2014. We have reached the point of diminishing returns. No longer are you getting a dollar's worth of GDP growth from something like $10 of printed money. It's gotten to the point of diminishing returns. So that's one of the big reasons why the Fed stopped QE.
Right.
Because it wasn't working. It had reached its peak and now it was starting to decline. So they wanted to do is do the interest rates, but the problem is that they looked in their deep, dark corner and they suddenly realized, oops.
Break out the big spreadsheets and say, hey, this isn't going the way we'd hoped it was going to go.
Yeah. They said if we raise interest rates even 25 basis points, everything collapses.
Well, so there's the question that's on the table right now. I mean, how long can they kick this can down the road? And I was reading an article earlier that Peter Schiff put out, and I kind of intend to agree with him on this, is that we're not going to see a rate increase, even a symbolic one. I think we're going to see another round of QE4 moving forward. What are your thoughts on that, Kenneth?
Yeah, QE4 is going to be a knee-jerk reaction.
Right.
But Peter Schiff is absolutely dead right. He was dead right in 2007, 2006, mm-hmm. 2007, 2008. He was one of the few that was dead right. He's dead right now. Because nothing was fixed.
Right.
And it's actually gotten worse. As a matter of fact, even Keynes, which is what all these bankers follow, John Maynard Keynes, about using debt to stimulate economic growth.
Mm-hmm.
Keynes even said that if you're going to do a stimulus package for the economy, you must do it in small spurts, no more than 6 months. Well, they've done three forms of QE plus Operation Twist, which if you really want to count it as four. They've done it four times over the course of 3.5 years in a 6-year period.
Right.
So they've already skewed the potential use of that tool. The market has gotten used to, it's like a drug addict. He's gotten used to a certain level of oxycodone, and to get it high, he's got to take more and more and more.
Mm-hmm.
So just enough stimulus. It's the same thing with interest rates. Had they kept the zero interest rates for no more than 1 year and then started raising them, then they could have used the interest rates during the next economic collapse or the next recession, but they've kept it down at zero. And so since they've done that, the entire market is used to that. The entire market is built on borrowing money at zero interest.
Uh-huh.
The government has been able to double the national debt because they can borrow it cheap. And that's something else about interest rates. All of these bonds that mature, if you raise the interest rates, you're going to see the government, which is paying approximately $250 billion a year right now on as interest on the national debt, You raise it 1%, that goes to $400 billion. You raise it 2%, that goes to $800 billion. Okay, $800 billion of our entire budget going just for interest on the debt.
That's insane.
And that would also mean that you couldn't afford to buy more debt, which we have so many unfunded mandates, it would collapse the budget, collapse the government.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not going to raise interest rates. They never will. They can't. The only thing that's going to happen is when the market itself forces that to happen. If that happens, you have a 2008 collapse.
Wow.
And then they're going to do a QE4 because they've got to cover the derivative losses.
That's right. That's right. I keep coming back to the phrase, day late and a dollar short in my mind, but maybe it should be a day late and a dollar too many, because that seems to be the boat that we're in right now. I want to get back on track with some of the preparations that the banks are doing. I had read an article last week about a fairly sizable silver purchase done by the fine folks over at JP Morgan. Do you think that's tied into this as well?
They've been buying silver for a number of reasons. Really, nobody knows exactly why, but they've been buying hundreds of millions of ounces.
Mm-hmm.
Whether it's to cover their shorts that have been longstanding in the COMEX, whether it's to resupply the SLV ETF that they've been stealing from for a while, or if it's a preparation, because there was an analyst who works with – you've heard of V, the Gorilla Economist?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's an analyst who works with him, goes by another moniker. He goes by W.
Oh, yeah.
And May of last year, W came out and said that he broke a code, because W used to work in the intelligence service during the Cold War and was part of the crew that helped bring down the Soviet Union economically.
Okay.
By destroying the ruble. Anyway, he said that there's certain codes that if you can interpret them that the elite use, that are for the elite only, that give sort of recognition, hey, we're going to do this, so prepare accordingly and don't go against what we're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he broke a code that they were going to use silver. Now, it didn't say specifically what they were going to do silver starting in July of last year, whether they were going to short it to death or they were going to start accumulating, but silver was in play.
Okay.
So this move by JP Morgan could have something to do with it, because more than gold, silver is going to, when it finally catches up to its equilibrium, the historic rate ratio is about 15 to 1 or 10 to 1 gold to silver.
Right.
Or silver to gold. Well, right now it's at 75. So if you think about that, you've got a factor of 6 to get back to that historic ratio.
Right.
So you're going to see silver prices accelerate approximately 6 times more than gold will when both of them get to their true price discovery. And it's interesting you mentioned the Shanghai Gold Exchange.
Boy. That's
exactly what's been happening. Jim Woolley's been talking about this for a long time.
Right.
He's actually gone a little bit farther, a little bit longer than he predicted. He was predicting by the end of March.
Right.
You would see the Shanghai Gold Exchange instantly come out and say, we're going to reprice gold to approximately $3,000 to $4,000 an ounce and silver accordingly. And they were going to do this when they were sure that London and the U.S. no longer had any gold for delivery. That's why they've been buying up. They pretty much own all of the major contracts for the on the COMEX, and they could collapse the COMEX in an instant. They could demand delivery, and that would be gone.
Right.
But what they've been doing is they've just been propping it up, and waiting for the time when gold and silver, there was none anymore, or at least in large quantities. And I think they've come to the realization that it's that. So when they come and declare this gold price, over in China, in Shanghai, they're going to challenge the West to say, okay, you don't believe it's correct, then arbitrage us.
Right.
Okay, sell us your gold at $4,000 an ounce, and then buy it from yourselves for $1,200, which is what you're selling it, you know, and then collect a profit in between.
Yeah.
They're gonna, and they won't be able to do that. And once it's proved that the COMEX has no more clothes, then it's done, and the entire price discovery goes into China. And once China has price discovery, that's when you start seeing control of gold move into the gold trade notes and the basket of currencies that they intend, because there was something else that happened under the radar. I can't believe nobody really talked about this, but China's Gold Association made an announcement, and it was just one of those innocuous read-between-the-lines announcements. But the China's Gold Association said that in the coming years, the Belt and Road routes, which is Belt and Road is another synonymous for the Silk Road, that estimated that 65 countries along the routes and their combined 4.4 billion population is going to be transacting a significant portion of all their trade in gold.
Wow.
So what China was just saying is everybody who's along the Silk Road, it's going to be a gold-backed system.
Roger that. Wow.
It's pretty much came out and say it, 4.4 billion people, which is more than half, and 65 countries. Whoops. And tell you what, once you have a gold-backed trade note or a gold-backed currency, what do you think everybody with any significant wealth is going to do? They're not going to sit in paper products and assets over here in the West. They're going to go where it's tangible. And that's going to suddenly drain everything. This is something, another reason you're seeing the slowdown in the stock market, because what I mentioned about diminishing returns on QE4 and the banking system, Europe has taken forever before they finally got around to doing their form of quantitative easing. And that money, of course, is going to be just like us. It's going to go into their stock market.
Right.
So a lot of investors who had made their ton of money with in the U.S. markets, they're pulling out and they're investing in the European markets. So it's draining, really it's draining on the stock markets. And you should see that there are a number of articles, you can search this up. Retail investors are no longer investing. There are no more retail investors for the U.S. stock markets.
Hmm.
So everything that's being traded is high-frequency traders going back and forth amongst each other.
That's right. It's all a shell game. Really, at the end of the day, it's all a shell game. And we've got to go to this quick 3-minute break. Kenneth Shortchin Jr. is our guest today. RogueMoney.net and TheDailyEconomist.com are the websites to check out. We got to do this 3-minute break, Ken. Keep it right there. We're going to come back and we will continue this discussion about the war on cash. I'd really like to get into some solution-based ideas, not only for the national level, but on an individual level. Carrot bars, looking at you guys. And so, yeah, 3-minute break, guys. Keep it right here. Appreciate you guys in the chat room. We will see you in just 3 short minutes.
So, you want the news and information without the hate, the hype, the fear. Well, you've come to the right place. You can support Truth Frequency Radio by spreading the word on social networking sites like Facebook, Twitter, or your favorite forums. Want to take Truth Frequency Radio on the road? Listen on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, or other mobile devices. Want more than just the free stuff? Sign up for a VIP membership for as little as $4 a month and get super high-quality downloads, member-only content, and instant access to your favorite shows without the wait. It's only through your loving support that we're able to cover the cost and continue broadcasting. So now, stay tuned for more Free Speech Radio right here on the Truth Frequency Radio Network. KTFRN. Worldwide.
Doctors don't want you to know about iodine because it allows the body to heal itself quickly and permanently. Iodine Now is a complete powder formulation that will load iodine into the body with vitamin C for the best possible absorption. Iodine Now, available by the case and for protection from radiation, fluoride, chlorine, and bromine.
including all heavy metals.
We believe that this is the main element that humans need more than any other at this time. This formulation is infused with our bioactive aerobic rare earth nutrient powder that has a powerful negative charge that attracts positive toxins. Why not buy one product that does the job of 20 and saves you space, time, and money? Has a storage life of 100 years. All for about $18 a month. Call 888-910-4367 or visit hempusa.org. Call 888-910-4367. Bringing back the universal medicine for mankind. Iodine now. Only at hempusa.org.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy three Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
Saturdays and Sundays, Country Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us through that 3-minute break. Thank you all who are hanging out in the chat room right now, and a big, huge thank you to all of you kids out on the live streams right now. More than 1,200 on the live stream. That is a big high water mark. Appreciate you guys getting up extra early to hang out with us this morning. We have a very special guest. Mr. Kenneth Shorten Jr. has joined us. He is a contributor to The Daily Economist and also to RogueMoney.net. I would definitely recommend you guys check those sites out on a regular basis to try and keep your head on a swivel as to what's actually going on here economically and geopolitically. And I just, Kenneth, we were kind of talking about this war on cash before we went to the break, and I just wanted to ask you the question really quickly. If you saw that flash crash that went down in Switzerland, if you have any kind of insight as to what in the world happened there.
Yeah, you know, there's no real information on where it came, but the fact that it happened on the anniversary means either one of two things. It means that it was a signal between the cabal, you know, the powers behind the economic system. It was just a signal that, you know, whatever, for whatever. But the other reason it could happen is there was a reminder out there in the news world of this anniversary, of this flash crash.
Uh-huh.
And almost every single stock market is run by high-frequency traders that make their moves based on news. And so if you start, you know, it's like you. Most people here have probably heard of the web bots.
Yeah,
you know, the web bot thing that goes out there and has spiders, and they get the frequency of what people are talking about and what's really important. Well, that's the same way that high frequency traders also work. They go out there and they try to find any little piece of news that they can use for their advantage. So if you start having a lot of people remind about the anniversary, then the traders are going to think, ooh, they're selling. There's flash and boom.
Uh-huh.
But there's no real reason behind it that it would happen on the anniversary, except for the fact that just like on 9/11, we've had a number of different quote-unquote false flag attacks happen on 9/11.
Yeah, imagine that. Funny, huh? So you think but there could be some potential that this was kind of like an algorithmic self-fulfilling prophecy. The algorithms read about the fact that they've had a flash crash and thought maybe that would be fun again, so we'll just do it again.
Yeah, exactly. Or it was just the powers that be. You know, whether you believe in the occult or not, they do.
Absolutely.
So, you know, this is something between them. What it means, we may find out in regular days, but there's no rhyme or reason. And And the regulators are never going to tell you what really happened.
Right. Well, that's kind of par for the course for this wonderful Justice Department that we've got running around this country. I want to get back to, you know, this discussion about the war on cash and what's kind of going on here in the United States. And, you know, I'm wondering if we could maybe work our way through some of the potential timelines of events, things that might happen, not just in terms of the trigger, but in terms of kind of the knee-jerk reaction that we might see. Like, what do you anticipate the dollar index kind of coming down to or settling out at? What do you think will happen in terms of the currencies that we use, you know, on a daily basis here? Just, you know, we're basically, we keep coming up back to this date of September, and we've only got, what, 5.5 months, 4.5 months now, but until that time. So, I mean, to me, this is go time. We got to figure out what these people are going to do so we can react to it, Ken.
Yeah, the thing about it is most of us have been talking about for the past 3 to 5 years, or even going back to whenever the credit crash of 2008. Mm-hmm. We've been talking about the fact that the system is rigged, that they're going to protect the banks, and they're going to go ahead and do all of this quantitative easing or these policies rather than flush out the bad toxic debt and assets, they're just going to keep it going, and then they're going to just remonetize all the bubbles. So if there's anything that you can look at, you can look at some of the knee-jerk reactions that were done by politicians or the banks back in 2008.
Okay.
We already know that the new housing bubble has pretty much reached a peak.
Uh-huh.
Unemployment has, they've manipulated that number so that all the jobs are part-time. Obamacare has forced a lot of companies into 30-hour weeks. So when you do that, you're not getting any tax revenue.
Right.
So the GDP and the federal budget have reached their peak, and they're in decline. We have all of these different moves being made not only by sovereign countries, but I don't know if I mentioned, but do you know about the letter that J.P. Morgan issued to their customers
up in Michigan? Is this the one where they said they didn't want people to keep cash in their safe deposit boxes unless they were of the collectible nature, which I thought was really interesting. But then I read something saying that they were basically not going to accept Federal Reserve notes in exchange for mortgage payments, which to me, I would love it if they did that here. I would go in there with a big stack of cash, get them on film saying they're not going to accept my legal tender, and I would be pretty much finished with my mortgage at that point. But was that the thing that you're talking about, Ken?
Exactly. This was a letter that went out to customers at J.P. Morgan Chase Bank,
mm-hmm.
that they don't want cash. Okay, the war on cash is the point that they don't want to deal with cash. And one of the reasons they don't want to deal with cash is, and why they want to go to electronic. And they're doing these letters to force people into using electronic for their services.
Right.
Here's the thing. If you have a cash-based banking system, then obviously under fractional reserve banking, they can leverage out every dollar for 30, 60, 100 times.
Yeah.
Okay. And so they've done that, but in a system, you have to keep a certain amount of that cash in the bank for transactions or if people want to close their accounts or things like that. You have to keep a certain amount.
Right.
If you go fully electronic, they don't have to keep that at all, and they can leverage it to infinity.
Uh-huh.
Because all they have to do is whenever they get a liquidity crisis at one portion of their electronic depository, they can move numbers around from anywhere else at any given time, and they can fudge the accounting to look like there's no problem.
Well, and they can,
and their leverage will be so far out.
They can scoop that money out of your account after the bank closes too, and use it for their overseas trading ventures, which a lot of these banks are kind of on the hook right now for, you know, effectively doing that, taking your money that's supposed to be protected, and then using it in these very high risk ventures, and then trying to get it back into your account. So, you know, moving everything to electronic is just going to give them more leeway in that fine line between your savings and the bank's gambling money is just going to get thinner and thinner, don't you think, Ken?
Exactly. And this is why the IMF is coming up with the SDR now. The reason that they're also looking to get the ball in motion is because they know that China is very close to declaring their system.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're not prepared, then people are going to see, oh, I want a gold-backed system. I want I don't want to have to go through the middleman of a reserve currency. I want to have bilateral trade.
Uh-huh.
And that's why they're establishing all this bilateral trade. In the end, the world is de facto is going to reject the dollar as a singular polarity reserve currency. There may be a combination of reserve currencies, but in all reality, it's no longer necessary. This is not the end of World War II when every economy in the world but the United States was absolutely devastated
mm-hmm.
and they needed a strong currency to be able to run by. That's not the case anymore. And the U.S. is not giving up this fight easily because they've acquired so much power. It's like the British. Okay, the British had complete economic, political, geopolitical, and military domination for the longest time.
Uh-huh.
But after, when we had the Suez moment, that was the beginning of the end. And the Suez moment wasn't a matter that the British could not defend their interests at the Suez Canal. It was the United States told Britain, no, stand down, you're done, you no longer have a say in global policy. And they backed down.
Uh-huh.
And the British Empire was feasibly dead at that point. And the pound sterling, of course, 10 years before, was removed as the reserve currency, and the dollar came in. Well, the world started rejecting the dollar in the 1960s when we needed to enlarge the monetary supply to do the Vietnam War.
Okay.
And that's when France and Germany and say, you know what, we want gold. We don't want your dollars. We want gold. And then that led up to the 1971 removing from the gold standard.
Right.
Ever since then, the entire world has been on fiat currencies. And it's been, when you have pure fiat currencies, then you're going to have these extremes of devaluation, et cetera, et cetera. Any purely fiat currency is doomed to fail. And we got to remember that Obama, in his little lapses of speech, thinking he's funny, but really he's laying out what's going to happen. They already said their intention is to destroy the dollar during his term.
Right.
In office. That's what's going on. We think that the powers that be want to save the system. No. The only reason that they're extending it as long as they can is they're trying to accumulate as much wealth as possible before the collapse.
Mm-hmm.
And so when these things are coming inevitable, they're using war to try to, destroy the power structures that could actually stand against them, like we're seeing in the Middle East when it comes to oil and gold, et cetera. They're left holding the bag with military, but they never prepared for the fact that Russia stepped into Syria a year and a half ago
uh-huh.
and said, we're standing with Assad. Oh, by the way, we have an agreement with Iran. You can't attack Iran because it'll be a declaration of war.
Yeah.
And so the U.S. responded by saying, okay, we'll go into Ukraine and do this little coup and try to vilify you and blame you as this evil empire again. But we have the internet, and
yeah.
People are awake, and only the ignorant are actually believing the entire propaganda now from the mainstream media. So the U.S. is losing credibility worldwide. The dollar is losing its standing, and we're coming upon a time when it's already prepared for the collapse into the, quote, New World Order. But they didn't do it fast enough, and it allowed China and Russia and India and the BRICS to be able to build themselves up strong enough that not only could they compete, but they probably have a much better chance of the new system. So when we ask about how to be prepared for it, one, if you still have money in banks, and I can't give financial advice, but this is purely my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
If you still have money in banks beyond what it takes to pay your bills every month, you're going to lose it. And don't be upset when you lose it. If you have money in paper assets in the markets, well, for the last collapse in 2008 was 40 to 50% of the entire market. It's going to be worse this time
mm-hmm.
because they haven't fixed the problem. Corporate bonds, guess what? Louisiana has $1.6 billion budget deficit. Not only is Louisiana having a war on cash, but they are cutting 87% of their budget to their state universities.
You're kidding.
No. LSU has just had an 87% cut of state funding.
Holy cow.
You have pensions. That reminds me. When we're talking the new spending bill, the $1.1 billion spending bill,
mm-hmm.
most people don't know there was a little rider that was put into it. That the government has declared that if you are a multi-employer union and you have multiple pensions under that, like, say, truck drivers who have driven for different trucking agencies over the course of the thing,
yeah.
if you have multiple pensions under that, the government now will take 60%.
What?
You are not allowed to have dual pensions.
Oh, my. And that's already been passed, and that rider already exists on paper.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, the government first step in pure pension confiscation. Let's see here. Yeah, it takes the provision applies only to multi-employer union pension plans, those that cover more than one company's workers. However, the amount of people who are under these union plans are 10 million.
Wow.
There are 1,400 such pension plans out there under 14 million. In the final days of the last Congress, the trillion-dollar spending bill, it created a possibility uncertain for future retirees to have their pension payments reduced by 60%.
Unbelievable.
So these are the things that the government's preparing for because, one, they're not getting any cash. People aren't spending.
Right.
The jobs that are being created are not bringing tax revenues through the W-2 in, and they're having to borrow more and more money, and the spigots are going because now the Fed is monetizing the complete debt. You know, it's like the Japanese. When everybody started dumping all their treasuries, especially Russia after the sanctions, the U.S. and the central bank needed somebody to buy their bonds. So they went to Japan, and Japan's a vassal state. Abe is a vassal of Washington. And they said, hey, you've got $200-300 billion in your pension fund. Use that money to buy treasuries. So the entire Japanese pension fund is now treasury IOUs.
Wow. That could never go in a bad direction, right?
Exactly. So we're going to have to look at it this way. And this is, like you said, about carrot bars. One, you have to have multiple ways to protect yourself.
Uh-huh.
You know, physical gold and silver, even if it's not confiscated, what they're going to do is the government's going to come and put a 70% tax when you sell it. Oh, and by the way, if you don't have a receipt, then they're going to assume that you bought it for zero, and they're going to tax you 70%, not just on the profit you made from that collectible, but the entirety.
Wow.
They're going to make it illegal for you to spend or use your quote-unquote collectibles, because that's what gold and silver is considered right now, collectibles.
Right, right.
You've got to be able to transmit it into any other currency, because most people don't realize. They look at the spot price of gold and silver in the COMEX, and they see that it's been kept down or it's dropped money. You know that in every other country in the world except the United States, gold was up against the other currencies because they're not being manipulated in India, in China, in Pakistan, in Iran, even in most places in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
It was up against the euro. It's not being manipulated by there. It's being manipulated by the dollar in the futures market because the COMEX futures market is not a gold market. It is a derivatives market, and it's there to protect the derivatives.
Wow. So getting back to this China gold, you know, the Shanghai gold leveraging house or whatever we're calling it now, do we feel like that's probably going to happen before September, that they're going to come out with this grand announcement that they have all this gold? I mean, how close are we really to the kickoff of this thing, in your opinion, Ken?
Oh, anytime this month it can kick off.
Right.
They spent the last month testing it with other banks. See, the reason that they have to do this very carefully and do the testing is because approximately 2004, maybe, there was another attempt to have an alternative gold market called the Pan-Asian gold thing, and they weren't prepared, and the London Fix was able to manipulate and destroy them within a year.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. But now, because they have made it a physical market only with no futures, there is no way that that London or the United States can attack this, or, you know, the only way they could do it is if they could arbitrage. the price that they're buying it at and or what they're selling and buying it at, but they don't have any gold and silver left. This is not 2004. This is now 2015 when they've leased out all their gold and China and Russia have bought it for the last 10 years.
Right.
So they did a month of testing. They are prepared and they're ready to go online. Now, at what point they start declaring new price discovery, that could happen any time. So when that happens, then the clock starts ticking. How long until the COMEX and the LBMA is gone?
Right.
Completely gone. Well, if it happens any time in May, then you've got, what, June, July, August? You got 4 months until the September, October timeframe.
Right. Right.
A lot can happen. Things are not happening in year or 5 year plans right now. Things are happening in months, in days, sometimes in an instant, like when Switzerland depegged itself from the euro and told nobody and just did it.
Right.
Things are happening instantaneously. Policies and decisions are happening instantaneously. That's why we've been talking for the last 5, 6, 7 years. You need to do this. You need to prepare. You need to. Well, you know what? The time to do that is you may have a little bit of time left, but we can't tell you anymore if you have any time.
Yeah. No, I mean, we're at the edge right now.
Yeah, the game is being played in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're either prepared with your chips at the table or you're standing at the loan shark going, damn, I need to borrow money at, you know, high interest rates just so I can be able to stand at the table. But chances are I'm already desperate. So I'm not, going back to what we talked about before and you mentioned about carrot bars, you've got to be able to protect yourself from whatever policies the government will come down with.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to be able to buy and liquidate your gold for whatever purposes you need in whatever currency you need, which is what that supplies. And for those who are repatriating, you know, how would you like to be able to move to wherever you want in the world? Already have your own business in place that mm-hmm. is international. You have your wealth protected in a company that is not a bank, so it's not going to be attacked by FATCA or the IRS.
Right.
And then to be able to walk in and liquidate gold or spend through a MasterCard anywhere in the world in any currency. That is the ultimate sovereign man, and that is the ultimate freedom.
It's like instant diversification. I mean, you get in your package with the dollar, and all of a sudden you're diversified tax-free into euro and gold. I mean, that's a kind of a win-win to me.
Yeah, and, you know, you could say about real estate, but the thing about it is in the United States, people need to get in their heads. They don't own their property.
That's right.
As long as you have a property tax levied on you, you don't own anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, these people who think, well, you know, investing in real estate or investing in paper assets, that was good up until 2007, 2008, but the entire paradigm has changed.
That's right.
And, you know, you don't look at the gold price as being something of an investment. You look at gold itself as being the ultimate wealth protection and as the world changes to the new global financial system, which is probably coming from the East, as we've mentioned several times today, gold will back whatever trade currency, trade note, or new system that comes out of China, Russia, and the BRICS. Gold will back it. So for gold to be able to back it, it's going to be instantly revalued much, 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 much higher.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to think about it, the greatest investment in the world right now is gold, because the writing's on the wall that it is going to be money once again, not just a collectible.
That's right. And I got to put out just a plug for those little bitty bottles of booze, too. I think those are going to be going like hotcakes if the collapse happens and you've got a whole bunch of those little bottles of booze. They could probably be worth about as much as a carrot bar going forward, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, or if you can sneak by it, you know, and if you got your pot plants.
Yeah.
Yeah, you've got a cottage industry right there.
Well, and I think that's where we're going to end up going, is people are going to start bartering for individual resources like that on a much different level. And, you know, at the end of the day, people aren't, the government really isn't going to stop your ability to barter. I would love to live in Louisiana just to be arrested just because of the voice that I would get, you know, the stink that I would raise for being arrested for, you know, trading cash for a secondhand good. I can't even imagine the voice that I would get. And I think that there's a lot of other things like that, like you just mentioned, that people are probably going to get into so that they can continue to survive and barter amongst themselves. And that's one of the things I love about Caribar so much, is that you can get people in your community involved, and then they've already got a tangible form of actual real currency, probably for the first time in their lives for the most part, but it's already got a QR code on it. It's already ready to go right into your local flea market or your local community. And to me, that's just a win-win. It's like a backup for whatever is going to happen coming down the future. So I really can't recommend that company enough, Ken.
Exactly. And by the way, on a side note, before the income tax of 1913, mm-hmm. do you know where the government got most of their revenues?
No. Uh-uh.
It got them from two places. It got them from tariffs that came in through the Port of New York for goods from offshore. Mm-hmm. And 50% of the entire federal budget came from taxes on what they called sin taxes, alcohol, tobacco,
right,
et cetera. That's where the ATF used to have. But it's sin taxes, which tells you that in the entire, whether it's global economic collapse, whether it's a recession, whether it's the good times, like during Prohibition, people will be buying alcohol,
yep,
buying smokes,
yep,
buying drugs. It doesn't matter. That is, you want to be able to make it in the world? Hey, go up to farmers and say, you know what? I want so much of your crops and livestock, and here's some drugs. Here's some smokes.
It's true.
Here's some alcohol.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, that's the nature of human beings, man. And that why fight it? Why try and swim against that stream? It doesn't make any sense, especially if you already understand that's the way your community is going to operate. Ken, we are just about out of time right now. We've got about a minute left. Would you like to leave us with some sage-like wisdom and advice going forward here into the future, sir?
Yeah, the most important thing is don't watch what the mainstream is doing, because they're going to keep you in the dark. Just like with Jade Helm coming up, the most important thing to look at. Oh, you were going to mention Garland, Texas.
I was, yeah.
This is just what I was going to have to say about that. If you notice, this event, this killing, occurred within a week of when the governor of Texas said he was going to order the National Guard to monitor the troops during Jade Helm.
Oh.
False flag?
Well, absolutely.
I think so.
Nurtured event is the way I like to categorize that.
Exactly. And if you believe these two guys are from ISIS, well, I've got a London Bridge here in Arizona to sell you.
No, you can't get it. I'm putting a bid on it already, ladies and gentlemen. So you can't, I'm buying it. I trust Ken that much. Ladies and gentlemen, you have squandered another couple hours hanging out with us here at the Red Pill Reports. I hope you enjoyed this conversation with Kenneth Shorten Jr. I absolutely love having you on the program, sir, and you are welcome to come back at any time. I'm going to let you go. Take care and enjoy the rest of your day, sir.
Thanks, JD. Have a great one, y'all.
You do the same. And listeners, that is it for the program today. Cannot thank you guys enough for hanging out with us once again, and give you guys the heads up. Sharon Lynn Wyeth will be joining us tomorrow. She's the author of that book, Know the Name, Know the Person. Definitely looking forward to an entertaining conversation with her, and definitely be ready for your phone calls tomorrow, guys, because you'll want to call in and tell her your name and see what kind of insights you can garnish about yourself. So that will be tomorrow. Remember to listen to KBS tonight. They're going to do a big UK selection breakdown, and lots of amazing guests. I even heard that I might be on there myself. Always the last to know, ladies and gentlemen. But you guys take care. We will see you in the Skyposphere, in the chat room and such later on, and get the chance to talk to you guys in the morning. Take care,
everybody. Truth Frequency Radio is your number one source for news and information without the hate, hype, and fear. We are proud to bring you cutting-edge programs like The Kev Baker Show,
The Christopher Everard Show,
The Freedom Link with Joe Joseph,
Truth Frequency with Chris and Shuri Geo,
Red Pill Report
with J.D. Moore,
X-Squared with Brooks Agnew,
Down the Rabbit Hole with Popeye,
Freaky Friday
with the Woo Crew,
Waking Up the Masses
with Robert Bruce,
Phoenix Rising Radio,
and dozens more.
Did you know you can listen from any computer, mobile device, or from any telephone by dialing 832 832-
225-5308.
Or call into your favorite show toll free at 866-37-TRUTH.
Uncensored talk and news you won't hear in the mainstream media.
24 hours a day.
Truth Frequency Radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.